Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As was noted, we'll be following from Isaiah chapter 49. My dear brothers and sisters, I invite you right now to consider the following terms on the basis of their connection and the overall impression you might receive for them. The words are domestic, cleaning person, housekeeper, steward, valet, butler, houseman, maid, scullion, yardman, footman, driver, aide, helper, subordinate, hireling, porter, runner, gopher, janitor. What's the common term about all of these? Well, they're all listed as synonyms for the word servant. And the overall impression you might have, considering they're for the most part involve manual labor and less than six-digit incomes, would probably that they're not necessarily those things or positions you'd go to school for, go get a degree for, or make a career out of. Not saying there isn't any honor in these vocations, or that one can't fulfill these positions and be very successful in life. But they're probably not in the top 10 of career choices in today's society. No, we don't, and this goes for all of us, like to serve as much as we enjoy being served. Watch the commercials for the all-inclusive resorts in the Caribbean, where everything is provided for you, and someone's there to satisfy your every wish. We're envious of that lifestyle sometimes, aren't we? As we see those who have people to deal with their everyday concerns. But now as you're imagining all that, picture, if you would, any of those titles being applied to royalty. Applied to those who seemingly have everything the world has to offer. Servant just doesn't seem to apply, does it? But then in steps the Creator of all things, the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and he comes to us as a servant to his heavenly Father, as a servant to his own creation, a Savior for us all. Hear Isaiah when he says, "Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he has spoken my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver." As Isaiah opens this servant song, as it's often been called, he invites everyone to listen, from the closest of the islands to the farthest of nations. His is not an isolated message intended only for a few. His is a message and a mission intended for all. His role to serve as a servant to his Father was determined even before he was born. I'll tip my hand early here to let us focus rightly that the me and the I, the servant of the Lord, that refers to Jesus. And nearly 800 years before John wrote the book of Revelation, where John saw the vision of Jesus, whom he described with the words, "In his right hand were the seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance." Isaiah told us about him. The sharpened sword, the polished arrow, were listed as the go-to weapons or tools to be used by the servant, to be used to the praise and glory of the Most High. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." The Lord, through Isaiah, was not talking about the nation of Israel here, but about his servant, who would be the perfect chosen one of the Lord. We can say that a nation is born, but not from a mother's womb. This servant is Jesus, in whom the Lord was going to display the splendor of his grace and mercy. From our gospel lesson from Mark, We recall the words of the Father when he said, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." The work that the Father had laid out for the salvation of the world was now becoming and beginning in its public ministry of Jesus. It was work that pleased the Father, unlike the nation of Israel, which constantly turned from the Lord. This servant, this Savior, this Messiah was God's answer to our dire situation. And the work was not going to be easy. Again, consider the work of a servant. It is usually not easy work. Work becomes the operative word here. Labor is involved. That's why it would seem so out of place for royalty or people of status to be found in those positions. The work can be wearisome, laborious, draining. It's work that never seems to have an end. It's kind of like cleaning or dusting, laundry or dishes. You feel the accomplishment when the task is completed, as it is right away, needs to be done again, to be repeated over and over. To many, that's a feeling of defeat. Think now of the servant of God when he says, "But I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and nothing at all. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength." Even having just celebrated Christmas, we think of the trials Jesus faced as he carried out his Father's will. His parents took him out of Israel to Egypt to protect him from Herod's act of genocide. He had to leave his hometown in Nazareth because no one would accept him there, a prophet not being accepted in his own hometown. His message would be challenged at every turn. For many, it may appear that Jesus, the servant of God, was fighting a losing battle his entire life, a losing battle for the souls he came to save. But it needs to be noted right away that Jesus was not there for himself. As a servant, he was working for someone else. In this case, his Heavenly Father. His encouragement came from the knowledge that God knew what was going on and that Jesus' reward was there with his Heavenly Father. His motivation in service to his Father was to do what he had been born for, what he had been anointed for, to redeem the nation of Israel and bring them back to the Lord. And the Lord then would provide him with the strength. Did you give this a thought over the past weeks when we all paid attention to what was a helpless baby in a manger? Were you awestruck as you celebrated his birth over all that was involved from the time of Isaiah and even before? Were you thankful for the mission he came to accomplish, a mission which involved you directly? Did you remember how in the Garden of Gethsemane, his sweat-producing prayer asked the Lord for relief, but not just for relief, but that the Lord's will be done? It was the one whom seemingly was beaten down and serving as nothing more than a martyr for his unpopular cause, he was honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. As he had, this would be Jesus, accomplished his mission for the Father, for Israel, and for all. We note how he says this. The Lord then says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." I personally love the way the Hebrew is used to describe the servant. In a way, he's saying, you know, you're overqualified for this task. Let's not just bring Israel back. I want you to bring the whole world back. You're going to be the light to the world so that my salvation can reach the ends of the earth. Does the Song of Simeon come to mind right now? Simeon, who sang out that the Lord could let him depart in peace according to his will. For that was God's plan, wasn't it? For his eyes had seen the salvation which the Lord had prepared in the sight of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Mary and Joseph may not have understood the whole prophecy at that moment while they were in the temple doing the law, fulfilling the law for their firstborn son. But as Isaiah knew about it centuries before, didn't he? The Lord's servant, the only begotten Son of God, was to be more than a servant. He was to be a savior. And not just for Israel, but for the whole world, for Gentiles. That's you and me. To the very ends of the earth. We are included in God's plan. We are the benefactors of the servant of God. The fittingness of this portion of Isaiah for this season of Epiphany, I pray, becomes self-evident for all of us. God revealed his plan, his mercy, his grace for us through his servant, his very son. And through that servant, you and I have the privilege to be forgiven, loved, and called the children of God. And even though, well, the trees will eventually be removed and the lights taken down, we go back once again with the eyes of faith. Look in the manger and see God's servant, your Savior, royalty, wrapped up in the cloths of a servant, there for you. A life to be lived for you, pain and punishment to be endured for you, his death, a payment for your sins and mine, his resurrection, an assurance for our resurrection. Listen to me, you islands, Isaiah said. Hear this, you distant nations. Behold your Savior Jesus, and live in love for the one who first loved you. Amen. And may the peace that comes to us through our Savior Jesus Christ keep your hearts and minds in that true faith till we thoroughly enjoy our place with him in glory everlasting. Amen.